That's Amy Grant with Fairest Lord Jesus. My guest in the studio this afternoon is David Milliken. And as you can tell from what we've discussed already, he's got a bit of an interesting background and done some interesting things in TV. But David, you've also worked in radio. And I wonder if you can tell us about your experience in radio, how that started and what sort of work you've done.
Well, I guess it started when I became head of religious broadcasting at the ABC, and there was about 20 people on staff making television and radio programs, and so I became intensely involved, particularly in radio, because there were so many hours a week going to air, and it's a ravenous beast, radio, you know, it chews up material. And I also became involved in the negotiations to get Caroline Jones back on air. And I got to know her quite well and talked her into setting up that series of programs that became so popular. It was called The Search for Meaning. And that became the foundation of the tape sales business in the ABC. In fact, that one program probably earned the ABC something close to $2 million in book and tape royalties. So that was all very interesting. That program with Caroline is a very good example of just how powerful radio can be, because we broke all the rules for that program, and yet people spoke with a degree of honesty and openness that was just quite astonishing. But then again, she is the great aristocrat of Australian radio. You know, I think no one interviews like she does in those sort of areas.
So you were head of the department.
Yes.
What was your participation with that? Were you as just pure management, or were you broadcasting as well?
I was also broadcasting. I used to step in for people on occasions. I actually took the plunge to set up a radio program on Sunday nights on the ABC local and regional stations at 10 o'clock, where John Cleary is at the moment. I wanted to set up a late night, Sunday night, talkback religious program, and everyone said, oh, no, good grief, if you have talkback, you get cranks. And you just get clogged up with nonsense. And I had this belief that you got the programs that you deserved, and if you had a good producer on the phone, you know. So I actually started that program myself for several months just to see. If it didn't work, they could all shout at me, you see. But it did work, and it's been running ever since. So I did a bit of that. I actually ran the drive shift in the afternoon out of Canberra Radio for a while, very briefly, for a bit of fun. Mm-hmm. I'm not very good at it, though.
Not very good at being on air?
Well, not that sort of program.
Okay.
Where you've got to be sort of jolly.
All right.
Yes.
And, producing religious broadcasting, they were worried about getting cranks, but
yes, of course,
that didn't come about.
No, it didn't.
No?
It didn't actually. You listen to Cleary's program on Sunday night on the national, on the region, the local and regional stations on ABC. You'll hear the quality of the calls that he gets. Mm. They're serious people.
Mm. And there were no problems that came up at all. Everybody was happy with the podcast?
Well, there was always problems. I mean, I can remember the atheists gave us a hard time. Now, this happened at a time when ABC religious programs started to rate again. We started to break into prime time on radio, and we were starting to do well, and we started winning prizes. We won the Pre-Italia, we won the New York Radio Awards, and we were doing very well. And we got sued. For the first time in the department's history, we were getting people suing us. And that, to me, was a good sign.
A good sign to be sued?
It meant that we were breaking stories, that we were putting to air things that were important in the sense that some people didn't want the world to know and others desperately wanted the world to know.
Can you give us an example of that?
Well, we got sued over issues that had to do with accusations, for example, that a particular church maybe had got out of hand and money was missing, for example. It's like an investigative piece. This was religious investigative journalism.
And the church concerned didn't like the news being broadcast. Right.
Well, people who whose deeds are dark don't want the clear light of public scrutiny, let me say.
No. I think we see that from day to day in the political terms, don't we?
Of course.
Right. So, well, there's not much joy in that being sued in that way. And I might just add, of course, we're very careful here on Triple U because we certainly can't afford to be sued. But you learned quite a bit, I take it, out of such an experience.
Indeed.
And were there lessons that you take away from this this sort of experience?
Well, I'm glad that people can be sued for defamation. I'm glad we have the legal system that we have in a way. But because there are some countries whose defamation laws are used to silence people. So it's a delicate balance, you know. And you've got to be careful. You've got to be very careful before you start accusing people. And there are some things that I think it's important to just shut up about. And I guess that's one of the things I've learned, is when to speak and when not to speak, actually.
Mm.
And that's a subtle craft. You know, only learn by experience, I think.
Getting your fingers burned, you know where not to touch.
Well, yes.
Mm. And, so you were doing the religious broadcasting with the ABC, and you were producing in that time, there was not only radio but also TV.
TV, yes.
Is that TV background the sort of thing that's led you into the sorts of TV work that you're doing nowadays?
Well, I also, prior to going the ABC, I was invited to do a series called The Sunburnt Soul, and that was a four-part television series, and I was just plucked out of nowhere to do this. And so I saw how television programs were made, and that caused quite a flurry of interest, and in fact was shown three times on the ABC. And created quite a storm of discussion about the character of Christianity in this country. And I was arguing that the church was languishing because we still had not created our own form of Christianity, which was really like an Australian form of Christianity. We still sound, our preachers still sounded like Americans or pompous Englishmen and so on, you know. And so that's what it was about. And there was a lot of discussion about Australian theology and how do we make the church Australian and so forth. So that's where it began for me.
Right.
I saw it. I saw the power of it, and I thought, well, it looks a lot of fun.
And you still find it fun.
I do.
Yes.
I do.
So when you're working on such a thing nowadays in your retirement, which as anybody who is retired will know, is not a time where you sit around folding your arms and doing nothing. You have others who work with you on this? That you've got some sort of team working with you, or do you just contact the people you need at the time?
No, when I'm... if I've got an idea for a program, I will just contact the executive producer. And if he likes the program, I'll say, well, look, I'll need this, this, this and this, you know. And we just negotiate from that point on.
Right. And you get the technical and presumably financial assistance that you need to do that. Well, it sounds like you're having a fun time in retirement, quite apart from the time that you spend with the Uniting Church in Berry. Now, it took you from your 20s to your 40s become ordained, but you presumably were you a Christian in your 20s?
Look, I always have been, I think. Mm-hmm. I was brought up in that sort of environment. I've never really doubted it. So it's not a very interesting story, that. It's just been, I was bred into me, I think. And I'm glad it was, because now it's become my own, you know.
I don't know whether interesting story is quite the word. It's your story, and that's what's important. But you're quite sure of being a Christian.
Oh, yes.
You're quite sure of your relationship with Jesus, and therefore of your eternal future. You're quite sure about these things.
Yeah, look, I know that God is there and that Jesus is there. And I know when I pray that I'm praying to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that certainty becomes more intense as I grow older, actually. I've seen friends of mine who sort of give up on it, but it hasn't happened to me, which I'm very glad about. But I guess I am sure of it.
Right. Mm. And this relationship is obviously taking into some very interesting areas, and still does.
Mm.
Through the cults, and I recall you as the first time I came across your name, but I don't think I met you at the time, was in Canberra, where you were at that time heading an organisation. I wasn't with the Zadok.
The Zadok Centre, yes.
And
yes, I set that up. That was the first of the Australian independent religious think tanks.
Mm-hmm.
This emerged out of the Whitlam era, when a whole raft of complex and difficult questions were raised, and Christians felt ill-prepared about changing the Marriage Act, about the whole issue of homosexuality and so forth. And the church didn't really have the habit of providing people with guidance as to how they should address these big ethical questions. So I set this organisation up, and we used to run seminars and publish materials and about all that sort of stuff, about economics and medicine and education and so on.
Is that still operating?
It's still going,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. So we still have a Christian think tank in operating
in Canberra,
out of Canberra. Right.
Yes.
Right, I'll just play another track, and I think I've at least one more question I'd like to ask you, David, so we'll come to that in just a moment.
Triple UFM. Support Australian arts and culture by supporting your local community broadcaster.
92.3 North, 104.5 Central, 99.7 South.
You're listening to Triple U FM, Shoalhaven Community Radio. Ken Joyce with a message.
Nicodemus was a Pharisee.
Franklin Graham talking about Nicodemus.
Pharisees were the strictest of the religious sects. They dedicated their lives to upholding the law of God. As a Pharisee, he dealt justly with his fellow man. He was moral in his own life. He was conscientious of all of the religious duties that were required of him. He spent hours at the temple every day in prayer. He was a tither. He taught the law of God. But you see, Jesus said to Nicodemus, it's not enough. It's not enough that you're religious, Nicodemus. It's not enough that you're good. It's not enough that you give your money to the poor. It's not enough that you have read the Bible. It's not enough, Nicodemus. Nicodemus, your heart's got to be changed. Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying to you tonight. You've got to be born again.
We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. For a free booklet about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, call us on 1-300-799-727. Or click billygraham.org.
My Lord, so dearly that I, the guilty one, may go free. Amazing love, what sacrifice the Son of God given for me. My debt he pays, and my death he died, that I
Graham Kendrick's lovely song, Amazing Love, produced there, presented there by Bebo Norman. You're listening to Triple U FM, Shoalhaven Community Radio. I'm Ken Joyce, bringing you a couple of hours of interview and Christian music with a message. And this afternoon I've had the pleasure of David Milliken, who's come in with quite an interesting mix of backgrounds and participation in various things over the years. Currently based in Bury, and if you want to actually meet the man, I suspect if you pop into one of the services at the Bury Uniting Church one day, you'll get a chance to actually talk to him and ask him questions about some of the things he might have raised which interest you. David, thanks again for coming in. What I do like to ask, if there's a final question, if there's something that is particularly on your heart that you'd like to share, something that drives you, something that you think you would particularly like to say to people in the Shoalhaven, now you've got a chance to talk to them, or something that is something of importance to you that you don't mind sharing. Mm. Tricky question, but a bit heavy.
That's a terrible question. Yes. I mean, you can't answer a question like that without sounding pompous. Well, you know what I mean?
We'll forgive you.
You know, have you got something of importance to say to the world? Well, you can't. No. Look, I just try and go about my business, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I try... I try and live life with joy. That's the first thing. And that means I want to hurl myself into life and participate in all that I can that it has to offer. The second thing is I want to live with a clear conscience if I can. And thirdly, I want to maintain and explore the limits of this relationship that I sense with God. That's what it's about for me. So it's not very profound. And certainly nothing that you'd want to address at large to the Shellhaven.
No, but it's what's important to you.
Yes, it is.
And I guess that's what my question was trying to find, to give you opportunity to share with us. Well, David, thank you very much again for
coming in. It's been my pleasure,
Ken.
And
we'll see each other around the district.
We will.
And, if you're, the next time you've got something being broadcast on TV or elsewhere, let us know so that we can let our listeners know and we can see the sort of work that you actually do. Otherwise, we might meet you again here on Triple U FM.
Pleasure, Ken.